This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father God, this morning, we don't want to come with a whole book of words, Lord God. But we just want to bring these words of God. You're so good. You're so good to me. And I sense this morning that there's somebody, maybe more than one person. You've been having a conversation with the Lord about revealing really who you are, what your purpose are with the Lord. And so often we come to the place where the Lord, we ask the Lord, Lord, reveal who you want me to be. But that requires the heart of stone to be shattered. But when you ask this, you are scared that when the Lord really looks into your heart, he will not find Christ in there. I just want to say to you that don't look with worldly eyes. Don't look to see the heart. But I sense that God wants to rebirth a new heart. And that starts with a tiny little seed this morning. And that seed will grow. And it will become a big, pumping heart. And you can declare over yourself this morning, I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. For you are saved in the name of Jesus. Just know that you are highly favored. You are anointed. And you are filled with the power of Christ. And all for the glory of Jesus' mighty name. We honor you and we worship you, Lord God. Come have your way among us now. Allow us just to enter into your presence, Father God, if we're not there already. Allow us to take that step and come closer to feeling your heartbeat for us. For God, you are so good. Amen. What an amazing week. We drove up there to Katima Malilo, first time for me there, and what a privilege it was. My expectation, and we'll get Marlies and Tony to come and share with us just now, expectation versus reality. Expectation is you go to change other people's lives because you've got the good news in you. I'm sorry to say, it's the other way around. You go there to realize that you have the good news in you. And that God changes us from the inside out. And he uses other people's circumstances. Just like he had with Jonah. He had to cast, they had to cast a lot for Jonah to realize, hey, God's not going to go away. And that's how you go and change. You go to serve other people. And in serving, you get changed from the inside. So this morning we're going to talk about reflection. So the last 4 weeks or the last five weeks since we started with this, we've been on a journey. And you can remember the airplane taking off on a flight to let us see how it is to live a mission-driven life. So if we recall the first one, it requires us to be an ambassador. The first question is, are we living as an ambassador for Christ? And we said that that is a decision that needs to be taken because we get conferred into the kingdom of Christ, according to Luke 22:29, saying that I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father has conferred it on me. Where Christ specifically says that we are his image or his representative on earth for for other people. So you need to ask yourself that question. Am I an ambassador for Christ? If you take the bigger picture of a mission-driven life, what do people see? And then we said, one of the key things is continuous conversation with the King. Okay? So now we need to speak to God in order to be and to portray His message correctly to the people out there. And how do we do that? We pray to Him. But when we pray, we don't just always pray for things, but we pray through things until we get the breakthrough. And I think we'll have those questions on the second slide. So you click it one more time and one more. Amen. All right. And then the third one, who's the Nineveh in your life? So does your disobedience endanger the people around you? Does your disobedience to God endanger the people around you? And that was a big question for me. You know, I struggled hard with that. I struggled hard with it in a sense of I had to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, who are the people that you want me to go to? Who's the Nineveh in my life that I need to go back to? And then Josh blessed us with his message last week. Say, does the way you work with your finances honor or dishonor God, the giver? And that all forms part of a mission-driven life. And this morning we want to take you back and say, all right, let's go to and reflect upon all of this. Now, what is the one word that you think of when you think of reflection? What is before you? A mirror. And it's definitely not, Snow White's little mirror. It says, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? And then you get this little message back. Oh, it's you. Oh, you're so precious and so wonderful. No. That's the mirror we all want to see. That's a mirror we all want in our lives daily to say just, you're good. You're amazing. But when last did you take a good look in the mirror? Since we started with a mission-driven life, I actually had to go back to the mirror and say, God, the mirror that I see or the person that I see, does that reflect Christ in some or other way? Christ came and he said, imitate me as I imitate my Father. Paul came and he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So what does your reflection look like this morning? Are you continuing in that mirror where you can see just yourself? And if you don't like what you see, you go to the cupboard, you put something different on. And then we see that the outside can easily change. But that's not what God looks at. God comes and he really guns for the heart. Because that's the place where people can't always see, but they can see it through the way that you're living. So Paul writes in Corinthians, in the second letter he writes in 2 Corinthians 6, and we're going to read from verse 3 till verse 10 this morning. And I want you to see what Paul writes here. And he says, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. And no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked through to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness by the Holy Spirit within us. In some other translations, it refers to the holiness within us. And by our sincere love, we faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual richness to others. We own nothing, yet we have everything. So it talks about Paul's hardship, and we need to realize that, when I read through this, I discovered that, wow, there's so many things that Paul is going through that I go through in my life, but I use it as an excuse not to spread the gospel. But here Paul comes and he says in the first verse, he says, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. So we go back to the beginning where we say, I am an ambassador for Christ. But does that show in my life? When I live a mission-driven life, am I moving forward with a purity of heart and the Holy Spirit within me? But don't you think, in a sense, we can ask the same question where Paul actually also had to ask him his question and say, listen, but through everything that I've done, why do the Corinthians? So the question here is that why do people doubt Paul's words? Why did the Corinthians, if we translate it to today, the people around me, ignore God's message? So we sit with that question of, does my words and my actions impact those around me in such a way that they cannot deny this message, the message of good news, of hope, of love? Or why do people not listen or not hear the gospel, hear God's message, hear the word of God? And so many times, I also think, and especially this week, it came so true that, is it because of me or my words? But then we get that striking word, is it because of me and my words? Whose words are we supposed to preach to the world out there? It's God's word. But Paul said that, Paul goes on when he writes this, his thought behind it is, and you can read it throughout the whole of Corinthians, the way he writes his letters is that when he writes this letter, and in everything that he does, he always considered what his actions communicated about Christ to the world. Paul didn't just sit back and say, because I'm in prison now, I'm bound and I can't spread the gospel. Again, as an ambassador, the kingdom of God is conferred on us. Conferring means you've bowed down, you believe with a heart, and you confessed with a mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And now, the kingdom of God is conferred on you, and that responsibility lies on your shoulders because you have to further and advance the kingdom of God. And you have to do that by ways of a mission-driven life. You have to see every opportunity, no matter where you are, as an opportunity to spread the good news. And I don't mean just the good side of things, the hard truth, never straying from the word of God, because that's what Paul did. Through the hardship, he still saw every opportunity that he received, no matter where he was, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he never had the opportunity to walk along with Jesus and imitate him and do the things he did, but through the revelation of the Holy Spirit and his intimate relationship with Jesus to God the Father. So his heart was changed because he did not do what this person next to him did, but he chose the spiritual mirror to reflect in it and say, God, who do you want me to be? And how can I change? So often we are so scared to ask that question because we are so scared about God, what God will reveal in our own hearts. His circumstances did not dictate his actions. He tried to reflect Christ so that those around him can see Christ in him. He turned every bad situation into a good one, even though his physical and mental hardship. Through that, he could have said, sorry, Lord, this is too hard for me. But he endured through that. He lived it so that other people will see the hope of Jesus Christ. So before we finish today, so I want you to just go through this process of seeing Paul's life, seeing the letter that he writes, and basically just get to that point of understanding that his hardship was never an excuse for him not to spread the gospel. He did not let that circumstances dictate the way he lived. He engaged every single opportunity to spread the word of God. So this is where the fun part comes in. So I'm going to move this, and I'm going to ask my fellow mission team members to come to the front, because I want you to hear it straight from their mouth, how this week was for them. So my first question to these two this morning would be, your expectation versus the reality that met us in Katima.
Good morning. My expectation was that we are going to change Katima. We're going to turn it on its head. The reality was, it turned my life upside down. And it made me delve deeper into the Word to get answers of questions that arise within me during this week. I'm sure we didn't change Katima, but the Lord is busy in his mighty and mysterious ways that we can't see yet. But he is changing and he's working in the people and in the land.
Amen. My expectations was that, we're so used to the small world that we have in front of us here in Windhoek. And when you go to Katima, you see that the people there are hungry for the word. And we did not expect much of that. But the people are hungry, and more people showed up as we had the sessions on Bible school. We did not expect that it would be more than 20. We didn't expect a lot of people, but there were 30, more than that even. And yeah.
So the next question is, what did you enjoy most about this mission trip? And you can't say Avo, you can't say Shurumbu Coffee.
Surprisingly enough, what I enjoyed most was the Sunday church service. I loved the way that those people intercede for each other, for the community, for their leaders, for government, for church leaders, and for their church and other churches. Together they worship like crazy. Without any instruments, it lifted just not spirit, but also the roof. Yeah, so the church service, although very long, was really, really encouraging and edifying to myself.
Amen. They went to another church. I went to another church, but it was linked. And the worship is exactly the same. They worship for, and anyone stands up and sings. It's not just one specific person, with testimonies in between and hallelujah in between. But I enjoyed the service and I enjoyed the playing with the kids in the sand. That was cool.
Now we had an opportunity to live life to the fullest extent. So now comes the next question. What is the hardest thing that you experienced during the mission? What was the hardest thing for you to see when you were on the mission?
During our visit to the last village, Chitu, afterwards I told Toini, I experienced a heaviness, a darkness within these people's eyes. And earlier that morning, they received news of death in the family, which could have explained the mourning, but it was deeper and it was darker than just the heartache that they experienced. And one of the questions that I had asked the Lord is, why can't I see your promises? Why can't I see the changes in the people and their surroundings and just the hopelessness that you see in their eyes? And what I received was a word of from Isaiah, and he extends the analogy, and in his picture is an exciting truth. For as the rain comes down and snow from the heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent. It is in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. So it encourages me that it will compel us to go back and during the next few years see and experience God's promises, that he will not take back what he's already sent to us.
Amen. The hardest thing, for me, it's exactly the same. The last village we visited, you see in Katima, many young girls, young women are mothers already. And there was one that we gave lift to the hospital, and she had a daughter who was 12 years old. And that 12 years old child doesn't even go to school. Even the mother herself never went to school. It's a process that goes on and on and on. And God gave me this verse, the Holy Spirit gave me this verse from Titus chapter 3, verse 3. It says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of the generation and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified, his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And, you know, when God gave me this verse, he asked me, do I really want others to experience the same love that I have experienced? Because I have experienced so much love, especially during this week with this family. Amazing love of God. Crazy family. But, you know, and those people in the villages, they need the love of God. Jesus Christ died for them as well, not just for us. And that was just, yeah, just to see the sorrow in those young women, it made me realize how the harvest is big. Amen?
Thank you, Twini. So one thing is we do reflection now. So in a sense, reading God's word every day and working through God's word, we get the picture of how Jesus lived as well. So we should have that view of what he looked like to other people because of the way that people write about him. So the next question is that when we walked through the villages, and we traveled through about four villages in this time, do you think that just us as a family, but also the other part of the mission team, that they were able to see Christ in us? Were they able to see that the way we walk, the way we talk, that Christ was in us?
Yes, I believe they definitely saw hope and love shining out of everyone that participated in this mission. The kids, Twini, Joyful, JP, as well as Petronella and Itai and Hesmeri. They embraced the community And every time the Baki enters a village, it is like streams of children running towards them. It is like moth to a flame. So I am definitely sure that they know that Jesus' love accompanies them wherever they go.
Amen. Yes, I also believe that, you know, you can't hide the light. So even whether you say something or not, the way you act, you cannot hide the light. You know, in John chapter 1, it says, the light, darkness could not hide the light. Yeah? So yes, I believe that. Amen.
The last question is, and this is sort of going to put maybe one or two people on the spot here, but I want you to, who is the person that you are going to nominate today to take with on next year's mission?
I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. But I am nominating every person that had a fleeting thought of going, even if it was just for a split second, and then thought of 1,000 other reasons not to go. If you are that person, you are on the bus to Katima next year, May or in August. And if you feel ill-equipped, the Word does all the equipping for you. So there are ways to equip yourself for the great for the greatest effectiveness. Become acquainted with the customs of those whom you minister. 1 Corinthians 9. Learn to speak the language for those with whom you work. That will probably be a bit difficult. Make an effort to eat their foods. 1 Corinthians 10. Be willing to wear the ethnic clothing, especially for festive occasion. I've got a shetengi. And listen to their problems. Galatians 6. Pray for individuals and specific needs. James 5. Avoid local politics. Acts 5. Treat others as you yourself wish to be treated. Matthew 7. Never compromise your faith. Romans 1. Yeah, the last one can be difficult because of the culture. Many of the missionaries there says that the people to whom they minister has one feet in the church and one feet in the traditions and in the culture. So never compromise on your faith.
Amen. Whom do I nominate? Hey. Sarah Queasy. But I invite also everyone, you know, your life will be changed forever. Mostly we go there to think that we are changing their lives, but we are actually being changed. Amen.
But the main thing is that we so very often just look at the nice things here. But we forget that the reality is that we as Christians have a responsibility to take the Word of God to the people out there. These people are not going to come to you willingly. And that's why we have the words in our lives and in the Bible, willingly I surrender. Willingly I give my heart to the Lord. And that is a thing that sort of that gripped me the most about this mission was not that God, when are you going to change these people? God, how are you going to use me to take the message to them? And you know, so many times, so difficult was it not for me to give somebody that doesn't understand me a word of encouragement or hope to say, God loves you. God bless you. And that was one of the hardest things for me to do, to say, Lord, bless these people, knowing that there's a responsibility on their side to receive that. Not just the blessing, but the hardship, as Paul writes, to no matter the circumstances, that we will always stay true to the Word and we will always be good in mind and pure in heart so that those around us can see how we reflect in Christ.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.